We are reading this afternoon from the book of St. John, chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus gave that eternal answer. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been with you so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen the Father, how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Praise the Lord. I think in this one chapter of the Bible has been put into a capsule eternity, eternal and everlasting. I think the major thing here is here are the people who had known Jesus Christ as a person, as a personality, that had followed Jesus, had sat down under the shade of a big tree, had conversed with the man of Galilee. Here were a people who had followed him into the synagogue, and they had seen him as he had been turned away. And yet, in the moments of sorrow upon his brow, they had seen a look of triumph. For he had come to conquer. He had come the victor. And there was nothing that would stand in the way of the Son of the Living God. And in this chapter, he put into a capsule the way to eternal life. He gave us a roadmap, a clear cut, a precise formula of how we would know and how we would recognize him as God-man set apart from the other creations of the living God. First, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. They're of all sizes. They're built in particular places and set aside for each and every one of us. I go, he said, to prepare a place. So therefore, it isn't an imaginary existence. It isn't a city, a fairy tale. It isn't a Hansel and Gretel story. But the God himself, as he conversed with man, made this promise to man. I'm going to go away now, and I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare the place for you, then I give you my word, this is my promise unto you, that where I am, ye may be also. I am going. There isn't anything negative about the promises of the living God. I am going. And in my Father's house are many mansions. And I'm going to prepare a special one for you. And I promise you, be not cast down, be not dismayed, for where I am, there you are going to be also. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. This is the promise of God. The promise of the living God. This isn't a business deal. This isn't a contractor that says, I want $5,000 front money down on this house, and if you can't meet the financial, the money requirement, then there is no chance that you are ever going to be able to inherit or to own this property. But this is God talking to man. Where I am, there you're going to be also. Hallelujah! Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. But you see, the weakness of man is also shown. It's outlined. It's sketched. A portrait in these same scriptures. Tell us, Jesus, they say, what does God the Father look like? Lord, it would please us if you would just tell us. Tell us what the face of the Father looks like. What does he act like? What does he talk about? What is his personality? Why, we believe that you're the Christ, but tell us, what does God the Father look like? Lord, if we only knew all these intricate things, then it would be much easier for us to believe. And oh, the answer, the promise, the glory, and the answer that Jesus gave them. Oh, my Lord and my God, have you been with me so long? Have you sat in the shade of a tree? Have you followed me into the hills of Judea? Have you seen me touch the blind eyes and seen them open? Have you seen me touch the deaf ears and suddenly they're able to hear? Have you seen me touch the leper, the outcast of society, the human, rotting, dying flesh, and see it become as pink, pardon me, and as white as a newborn baby's skin? And you ask me, what does God the Father look like? Oh, let me ask you something. Are the works that you have seen wrought at my hands, are these the works of a man, or are they the work of a God, of a living God? Is it possible that a man, a mere man, how often have you seen human lives so wrecked, so tortured, so deep in despair, so tormented by the powers of evil and of darkness, and you've seen them cry out to me in the crowds as the multitude pressed in and around me. You've heard as you saw me turn around and go back to a blind man that was crying to me. Oh, and how you saw me just reach out and touch him, and you saw that immediately he was able to see. You saw the lame man that was born lame from his mother's womb, and suddenly you saw him as he stood up and he began to leap and to praise God for his healing. Are these the works of a man? Look at me again. Look at me again. I am God. I am God. I'm the flesh of the living God. I'm God, man. Is man a healer? Is man a savior? Is man a creator? Can man raise the dead? Why, only these miracles are wrought by a living God. and you ask me, what does God look like? You're looking at God. He told them, I am God. I'm God man. I'm the flesh of God. I'm the very heart of the living God. I came to die for your sins. My purpose is that I gave up my throne willingly, and I chose to become flesh, that I might dwell among you, that I might know you as man to man, that I might converse with you, talk to you, and 2,000 years later, that the ones who believe shall know from beneath shadow of doubt that God himself walked the face of this earth. That God himself came down from his glory. That God himself was so concerned about his creation that he touched their blind eyes and he made them to see. He touched the lepers and he cleansed them. He saved them who were lost. This is the truth. This is the truth. And if I go, I'll prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. I am the way. I am truth. I am life. And no man cometh unto God but by me. This truth is revealed here this afternoon in the lives that were warped and torn and twisted by the dregs of sin, narcotic addiction, destruction of the soul. A people who have found that same God, that same compassionate Christ that walked the shores of Galilee and the hills of Judea, the healer, the savior, the eternal promise that I go to prepare a place for you, and that where I am, there ye may be also. That same Jesus Christ lives this afternoon, as same as he lived when he spoke those words 2,000 years ago. He is just as real. He is just as alive this afternoon. Those words are just as powerful. They are just as glorious. They're just as true as they were the day Jesus spoke them, on the day that he told of his return, of his death, and also of his resurrection. For they are words of life, eternal and everlasting. I don't care who you are this afternoon. I don't care what your purpose for being here is. You may have told yourself a lot of things. You may have said, I want to go and see that bunch of hippies. You may have said that you can't claim to please a son or a daughter. You may have given a lot of reasons why you came. And I'm not particularly interested in any of them, because they really don't make any difference. The important thing is that you are here. And since you've entered into this place this afternoon, regardless of whatever your mind may be trying to say, there's something in your heart that has told you this thing is real. There's something more going on here than a group of people that are gathered together in some sort of noisy confusion that stand up at a certain time and holler, praise the Lord. In your heart and in your soul, you know beyond any shadow of doubt that you have felt the presence of that same God that came down to man 2,000 years ago and left the promise of his word man to man. The difference is this time, when he fulfilled his purpose upon the face of this earth and he ascended into the heavens, when he comes back this time, he's not going to come back as the meek and the lowly. He isn't going to come back as the man to man. But he's going to come back the eternal, everlasting Alpha and Omega, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And he is coming this time with a rod of judgment. But how could we possibly expect to escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If we turn away from the outstretched arms of mercy? If we turn away from the promise of God, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to ascend into the heavens, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And where I am, there you will be also. Praise the Lord. How could we expect to escape if we neglect so great a salvation? I want to say to you in closing this afternoon, we're not asking you to do anything that every one of us here have not done. For each and every one of us came to a place in our life that we realized we were lost. We were undone without God. And each and every one of us have made an altar somewhere. We have humbled ourselves before God. We have asked Him to forgive us of our sins. We have asked Jesus to come into our hearts and to make us a new creature. God heard our cries. This isn't a story to us this afternoon. For the Spirit of the living God that entered into our mortal body when we came to that place of reconciliation at the foot of the cross witnesses clear, cut precisely this afternoon that this same Jesus lives. That he does live. And we know him man to man. Also, we know him as Savior. And most of all, we know him as Lord and God. Praise the Lord.